Stories of transformation are shared each Sunday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m. on Faith Radio as Bill Arnold and George Fraser host Real Recovery.
One recent example occurred when Julianne Cusick told her story of discovering, after 3 years of marriage, that her husband had a porn addiction and was unfaithful throughout these 3 years.
She determined to stay committed to their relationship and has seen the power of God work to transform her and her husband's lives and the founding of the ministry Restoring the Soul.
Listen as Julianne talks to George and Bill about the damaging influence of pornography and the hope of the gospel.
I never did methamphetamine, but the guys that I worked with, and Bill, we've worked with a lot of guys who struggle with that, a lot of them said the first time they smoked it, they're addicted, and at least psychologically, and pornography is the same deal.
It is,
It's always there. That's something exciting to break from boredom. Just take a look at it, and you can get it right on your phone. Gosh, how convenient.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, George. It's everywhere now. You know, used to be you'd have to go down in the basement and in the back room behind the boxes to find Dad's stash, or, you know, go down the street to the convenience store and go to the back aisle, or, you know, that was hidden. It's not hidden anymore. And more than that, it's a perpetrator. Pornographers and online pornography are out there to get men hooked, and they're out there to get our children hooked. So it's very aggressive, and it is a perpetrator to our culture that's actively coming at people.
I think a lifelong struggle for me has been the sexuality and how I was raised and how it was exciting. And then all of a sudden you're married in a Christian marriage and you're supposed to be normal, and the fit is hard and the adjustment is a lifelong struggle. And I'll speak for myself, but I don't think I'm that much different than most guys. And it's bigger than we are.
It is.
It's a tough deal.
Julianne, let me ask you this. We're talking to Julianne Cusick tonight, Restoring the Soul Ministries. And let's back up to the question where you have that conversation. The caller said, you know, you have an awkward conversation with your husband about porn and lying without it sounding accusing, and you answered it well. Let's say you have that conversation, and he replies and says, okay, I do. I do look at it. I do, from time to time, look at it. What do you say then?
Yeah. Well, the woman's going to feel absolutely devastated, just as I did. And if she has her wits with her at that point, thank you for sharing, I'm glad you shared, is a great first sentence. Because coming into the light, whatever it is you're struggling with, whether it's an addiction, alcohol, drug, porn, sex, whether it's something that's shameful, maybe a woman was married and divorced very young and she's ashamed of that, or she's had an abortion. Anytime there's regret, shame, and somebody's coming into the light, thank you for sharing. That's a huge step. Tell me more. And really ally herself with him as support to be able to not do his healing for him or get him the help he needs. It's just the opposite. Enabling him and empowering him and giving the freedom to go and get well, and knowing that she's going to need help and support along that journey as well. You know, they're opening a can of worms, and to say the least, a time bomb, I think, is more what women have described it to me as. And they get covered in all of the gook that explodes as well. It's where you go from there. Do you want it hidden? Do you really want to pretend your whole marriage? Do you want to keep the secret? Or would you rather have it out in the open, even though it's devastating and it's hard to wade through and it's a long journey and there's no guarantee, you know, that it's going to be healed and your marriage is going to be restored or your husband's going to be restored? And the women, even though they're walking through the devastation, and I agree with them, I'd rather have the truth than to live with the lies.
Julianne, I'm curious about, you know, intimacy issues with men. I don't know, we can't probably go into this with just our last segment without,
I might have to leave here,
without our heads exploding in this side of the studio. But I think boys by nature, they have always consistently felt kind of a certain level of shame in conjunction with it. Like, it, you know, they like it too much, but if they don't do it right, maybe it'll get taken away. And, you know, they don't ever feel like they can measure up in intimate relationships. I think that that's something that creates a desire for men to escape. Do you have any thoughts about that? I could be completely off base. George, and you can disagree with me because I didn't talk to you about this.
Well, that's a great question, Bill. I'm glad that you brought up intimacy. I believe that pornography, as much as it is a problem, any type of addiction, it's more than just the problem. I believe it's a symptom of an even greater problem. There's a deeper issue underneath our addictions that's driving our addiction. And to really have a true recovery, a real recovery, you have to get to the heart of the matter underneath. My husband Michael's been free from sex addiction for 20 years, and yet during those 20 years has still struggled with what we would call an intimacy disorder. Many sexual addictions underneath have an intimacy disorder where the man is afraid of that emotional intimacy, that emotional closeness, that ability to be vulnerable, soul naked, if you will, and be present to another and have that other person be present to them. Women were wired differently. Maybe it's because we were created to carry life in our womb and give birth and hold the baby close and nurse. We're more wired for relationship, to be vulnerable, for that emotional intimacy. But it is something that is daunting for many, many, many men. Of, I am scared to be who I am in front of you. I'll be found out. I'll be left. If you really knew who I was, you wouldn't love me. And true intimacy is being able to see into the other person, be seen into, and to have that presence with one another. It's pretty terrifying.
It's pretty deep, too.
Yeah, it is deep. George and I
are deep.
We're both quiet right now.
Well, you know, I'm a guy that lives alone and has barbed wire fence around his house with landmines in the front yard. So I get that, but there's a lot of effort here and risk. It's interesting to me when we talk about this that the only solution to help the guys and the women is Jesus, because otherwise it's just way, way too big. And the desire has to come from Jesus to change, doesn't it?
Well, you know, there, for men and women both, let's face it, we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. We've been hurt. Anytime we're hurt, we build up walls and fences. So I've had mine plenty. So we can level the playing ground a little bit to know that that's why they're there. We don't have the barbed wire fence and the landmines out front because we've lived a perfect life. We have that because we've been wounded and we don't want to be wounded again. So somewhere in ourselves, we've got to find that place that we are grounded. And the benefit as a believer is that we can have that groundedness with Christ. But it can't just be the rules. It's got to be the relationship.
Yes.
We've got to have that realness with Christ. When I was angry, I told him I was angry. I was honest with him. And so in order to be honest with God, we have to be honest with ourselves. There's a lot of self-deception out there that goes on. And so are we willing to be honest with ourselves about who we are and what we want and what we're doing and how we feel and bring that to Jesus? And if we can do that, then maybe we can do that with another human being.